Welcome to Drop of Inspiration. I'm your host, Deidreen Joyce. Thanks for joining us today. I'm really excited to share today's YL community story with you. Brooke Craig, also known as the Holistic Housewife, is a board-certified holistic health practitioner and life coach. Married to her high school sweetheart, Brooke and her husband raised three kids in Southern Florida. Brooke is passionate about showing people how worthy they are, and her mission is to teach those who struggle with anxiety, depression, and other limitations about tools to help improve their lives. According to Brooke, and I would agree, you are enough and you deserve to step into your power. You are here for nothing less than greatness. Brooke has a lot of light, and I hope you'll gain some of that as you listen to her story. Here's my conversation with Brooke. Why don't you go ahead and tell us about yourself?
So my name is Brooke Craig. I am married to my high school sweetheart. I met my husband when I was 15 years old, and I'm in my 30s. We'll just leave it there. We have three kids, and we live in South Florida. I've been born and raised here in Palm Beach County. I had big dreams of, you know, leaving and living in a big city, but that didn't happen. So I'm a firm believer that everything happens for a reason. And that's kind of where I am now. You know, we all go through stuff. We all go through pain points in our life. And I believe that I'm here living holistically because of what I've gone through. So I'm a board certified holistic health practitioner. And thanks to Young Living, that's the path that I've chosen to take in. And it's really enlightened me and opened up my eyes to seeing so many amazing things. And it's really been life changing for us.
Mm-hmm. What are those things that kind of pushed you toward holistic living and pushed you towards Young Living? Is there anything that you kind of grew up with, any values that made it so you were open to this lifestyle?
So growing up, I've always been mindful of health and wellness because my family's always been in the fitness industry. My mom was a gymnast growing up through college, and she was an aerobics instructor our whole entire life. So we were very mindful of health and wellness as far as, you know, the foods that we were consuming and what we were eating, but not necessarily the products that we were bringing into our home. I'm the oldest of three. I have a twin sister and a younger brother. He's 5 years younger than me. So it's always been my role kind of organically fell into the maternal, like the caretaker. So that was naturally how I ended up evolving and, you know, wanting to have kids and wanting to choose better for my family. Being that caretaker, as far as the dynamics in my family, was a leadership role. And I always knew that I wanted to own my own business. So after I graduated high school, I got into the mortgage industry. I was very, you know, blessed to have a very good job and I loved it, but it wasn't really my calling. You know, I've always had a very creative mind. I love to plan things. So after getting married, I had, you know, the little things happen at my wedding, as far as, you know, my flowers were wrong, my cake was wrong. And I decided to open up my own wedding and event planning business because, you know, no bride should have little things like that when you're paying thousands of dollars go wrong. I opened up my business. I ended up having my son and I was rocking it. You know, I was super proud of myself. My father's an entrepreneur. He's owned his own construction company since I've been alive. And he really instilled, if you want something, you go and get it. So that's the mindset that I kept, but not understanding that you need to have boundaries in what you do. I had none. It was all or nothing. And I buried myself and buried myself and buried myself into my business. And I loved it, but it didn't mean that it didn't come without stress and other things. So I, you know, built this business and I did a lot of work and I did a lot of work for free and it ended up paying off, but it ended up wreaking havoc on my body. I buried myself so deep. I became so consumed with my business and with the plan of success that it took away from my family. It took away from my husband. It took away from my son. And I wasn't privy to it. I didn't really see it because I was so tunnel visioned until one day my husband came to me and he's like, listen, I'm not happy. And of course, being a woman and being an entrepreneur, I was like, you're not going to tell me how to live my life. And he's like, no, I don't think you understand. You're never home. When you're home, you're stressed out. And I know you love what you do, but it is stressing you out. So we had to have a really deep heart-to-heart conversation, and it took a lot for me to make the decision that I needed to close my business. It wasn't worth my health or the relationship between my family and I. So I decided to close my business, and at that point, it was kind of like my body just shut down. I was literally moving my stuff from my office that I had into my home, and I started to have these really weird feelings in my body. It was almost like the moment that I decided to calm down consciously and just say, all right, I'm going to stop this self-destruction that I was doing to myself. My body's like, all right, now I have to play catch up. So I'm moving my stuff into my office, and all of a sudden I start to feel really shaky. It's almost like the adrenaline is pumping through my body, and I'm mentally telling myself something's not right. Something's not right. This doesn't feel good. And it ended up spiraling into a massive, massive panic attack, which led into an anxiety attack. I did not feel safe in this moment. I felt very scared, and I felt like I was going crazy. Some of the thoughts that were coming into my head didn't feel normal to me, and I went into a really dark space. I ended up admitting myself into the hospital where, you know, we don't feel good. We go to the hospital, right? When we feel like it's an emergency, that's where we go. But I realize now that it wasn't probably the best idea for me to go there, because to be honest with you, the stuff that they were giving me made me feel heavier. It made me feel darker, which spiraled me down into a very dark space. And it took a lot of soul searching, a lot of hard work on myself, looking at my faults, looking at my downfalls, and looking where I went wrong, and realizing that I was burying myself because I didn't feel good enough. I didn't feel good enough as a wife. I didn't feel good enough as a mom. And I remember during that time, I just felt like I was doomed. I felt like I was going to be living in a padded cell with a straitjacket for the rest of my life, and this was my destiny. But I soon realized that this journey was meant for a reason. And I didn't know what that reason was right away. But I can tell you now today, that was 7 years ago, that I know exactly the reason why I went through that. And that is to spread my message. And that is to spread awareness for people that do suffer with anxiety, that you're not alone, and that it's not a permanent state of being. And you don't have to do things that make you uncomfortable. You have to trust your body, and you have to listen to your body, and you have to give yourself grace. So that's kind of a little bit of where my story went and what's led me to where I'm at today.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for sharing that. I know it's pretty hard to be vulnerable these days, but I think there's a more of a conversation about boundaries and trying to take care of ourselves that maybe we didn't grow up with. And thank you so much for being vulnerable with us and sharing that story. And I was excited to you today because I've also had experience with anxiety and depression. And it's just really great to have a conversation with people and how you can personalize a life with anxiety and depression to something that is fruitful and beneficial and that is really full of joy. So we're really happy to have you on the podcast today.
Yeah, I'm excited to be here. And I really think that it's, you know, we're talking about it as a society more. And I don't think it will ever feel normal, because the feelings of anxiety and panic and depression aren't normal, but it doesn't mean that it's not okay. So I think if we just make it okay, and we allow people to just use their voice and hold compassion for them when they do without judgment, that it just makes it a safer space.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. So thank you for talking about it today. I'm excited. So tell us kind of what came first, your journey into holistic living or Young Living? Did they lead into one another? Did they come about the same time? What was that journey like?
So my holistic journey started after I started to rehabilitate myself through therapy, just regular cognitive behavioral therapy. I thankfully had a therapist, a licensed professional that I was working with, that told me, you know, you don't have to do anything you don't want to do. You know, she made me feel very safe, and she made me feel very normal when I didn't even know if I was going to be able to continue on, you know? And I started to look into essential oils, and we all know that lavender is like very relaxing. So I started to look into that, and I'm going to be honest. I think like everyone, we go to the store because that's what we're so used to. We go to the grocery store and we pick out our oils or we pick out our natural products. And that's how I started to get into it, not realizing that, all right, I knew this stuff didn't really work that well on me. Let's just be honest here. But that's how I started to learn about herbs and stuff like that. But it wasn't until I had my daughter, that I got into Young Living. And we worked so hard for her. I wanted her so bad. And she came out and she was a nightmare. She cried and screamed all day and all night. And it took us a while to figure out what she was going through. She had some gastro issues and she was just a fussy, colicky baby. And I think after 14 months of having to wake up 6 and 7 times through the middle of the night, your brain starts to tell you, I can't do this anymore. And I just need sleep. You know, 14 months of that is a lot. So I was up at 3 a.m. one night on Pinterest and Young Living fell in my lap. I was looking for, I think it was holistic support for babies and infants. And Young Living just literally popped up into my feed. So I ordered my kit out of desperation, out of anything. I was willing to do voodoo magic if it was going to mean that I got like more than 3 hours of sleep at a time. I was a skeptic. I wasn't sure that the oils were going to work because let's face it, I'd used the stuff from the store and it was, you know, it was what it was. It wasn't anything life-changing. And I added some Roman chamomile to lavender because I had read that that was, you know, calming for anybody, especially babies. I remember getting my kit, ripping it open and thinking to myself, if this doesn't work, I'm going to call the credit card company and I'm going to dispute the charge on my credit card. But I never had to do that, luckily, because I used that Roman chamomile and that lavender in her room and it was game changing for us. I even woke up several times on my own without the screams of her in the middle of the night. And I was like, oh my gosh, what's going on? Is she breathing? And she was fine, completely fine. So that's kind of what spiraled us into Young Living and finding out that, you know, the products that we bring into our home really do matter. And, you know, if we're living in stressful situations as far as our work and our life, the products in our life are really contributing to the stress of our bodies as well. And that's kind of what spiraled me into the Young Living and getting my practitioner's license and getting board certified. So I really have Young Living to thank for that.
That's so awesome. It is kind of interesting how these moments of desperation kind of force us to take care of our bodies and to be more mindful of our bodies. And though it's maybe unfortunate that I remember I wasn't really paying attention to my body, and I had a very similar experience to yours where anxiety was just kind of running me to the ground and I just kind of had to force myself to take care of myself. And that's how I found this job at Young Living also. And even though we've been through it, I think it makes it a lot more, I guess, poignant and a lot more special to know kind of the other side of things and to help us enjoy life a little bit more.
Oh, 100%. Absolutely. And I think that when we look at people who are suffering, it usually takes a monumental situation to have change. Change is massive, but it takes massive things to happen in order for that change to occur. And with someone that deals with emotional things such as anxiety or depression, it takes something, unfortunately, traumatic to be game-changing. It takes you to experience full-fledged darkness and fear in order to say, like, this is not what my life is meant to be. I'm made for more. I am made to be happy. We all have the opportunity to have joy in our lives. We just have to choose that. And sometimes when we have that anxiety, we get so caught up in our own mind and in our own fears, but fear is something that's trying to hold us back. And if we can kind of shift our perception, I think that's what makes a difference. And absolutely, the things that we bring into our home, you know, contribute. You know, our bodies are constantly always working to keep up at that level of wellness, at that wellness line. They're always trying to keep up and regenerate back to homeostasis. So when we're constantly stressed out, our adrenal glands are constantly on. They're not made to be constantly on. They're made to be in those situations that are dangerous, you know, the fight or flight. But when, like I said, we're in those heightened states of stress, they're constantly turned on. So our bodies start to dump. They start to get exhausted. Not only that, but when we're using products that are filled with chemicals and filled with toxins, we're stressing the body out. And unfortunately, we're not able to see what goes on inside of our body. So I feel so much lighter, and I'm so proud of myself to be my own advocate and to have Young Living as a platform to do that has been such a blessing for me.
Mm-hmm. Everything you're saying, I'm just like really nodding pretty hard over here on the other side of the mic. So tell us, I know when I was growing up, you'd hear the word holistic and there was a lot of stigma attached to it. But I think now a lot of us are being more open to getting past those stigmas and holistic living and realizing that wellness is a whole body sort of thing. Can you explain to people who might not be familiar with like what holistic living really means? Give us kind of an everyman definition for that and how Young Living has really enhanced that for you.
Basically, what holistic really means is to treat the animal as a whole, right? So we're animals, we're mammals. So it's to treat the animal as a whole, not just one area or one thing about it. It means to incorporate treatment for all aspects of an animal's life, including lifestyle, physical attributes, emotional stress, and so on. So it doesn't just treat the symptoms of whatever has you ailing or whatever brings you down or underneath that wellness line, but holistic health really wants to treat the source and not the symptom. And it's seeing how the one thing affecting on another can get to a root of the problem. For me, in my opinion, holistic health is really whatever you want it to be. I think back in the day, we picture holistic health as hippies running through the forest with loincloths on and hair everywhere and just, you know, dancing in the rain. But that's not really what it is. We live in 2019 and holistic health has really taken on. You're seeing a lot of big companies, you know, doing the same. And I think holistic health is just that, listening to your mind, listening to your body, and listening to your soul and being educated. That is the biggest thing, is being educated on the things that we're using. And not only that, but what Gary Young has done with Young Living and the products, as far as it's not just the oil, right? We're mindful of all of the things, the whole entire process. It's all encompassing. It's not just the oil, but it's the distillation process. But it's not just the distillation process. It's the farming process. And it's not just the farming process. It's the seed. And it's not just the seed. It's the soil. So we have to be able to go back to the origination of things and see how they're cultivated and they're created and they're manufactured and they're processed. And that's where holistic health comes in. Now, being holistic doesn't mean not using your microwave. I mean, if you choose not to use your microwave, that's fine. You have to find that balance. You have to find that healthy medium, because like I said, we are in 2019. So it's finding that balance, being mindful and being open-minded and educated about the things that we're using and the products that we continue to bring in our home, because we're in control of that. You know, we can't control the emissions and the pollution outside. We, you know, control how we can contribute to that, but we control what we bring into our home. And if we're not educating ourselves on the products that we're bringing into our home, then that's not living a holistic lifestyle. That's being reckless.
Mm-hmm. With the podcast, I've been able to talk to a couple of different health coaches who are coming from different backgrounds and that sort of thing. But the most common aspect that I hear in all of my conversations is how important it is to personalize our wellness to us. I think in past decades, there was a one-size-fits-all approach to wellness and to healthcare and that sort of thing. And I think, as you said, it's 2019. We have the resources, we have the tools to make sure that our wellness is personalized to our bodies and really celebrating the individuality in just every aspect of life. So tell me, now that Young Living is part of your life, how has it enriched your home life, your work life? I know it's kind of hard because, as you know, a holistic health practitioner, I'm sure those things really connect and overlap together. Do you see changes between how it was before and how it is now that you're being more mindful?
Yeah, I mean, I do see changes. I see changes behaviorally with myself and my children. I have grown to have a much more intuitive approach to things, trusting myself, trusting my body, trusting the decisions. And, you know, honestly, it's been so easy with Young Living because it definitely boils down to the trust. But being able to provide for my family, I see a huge impact on our lifestyle. It's definitely a healthier one. And the way that we respond to certain things as far as not feeling that great has been changed dramatically. I think for me, the one thing personally that I've learned or that I've gained from this whole entire process is, just like you said, everyone's journey is different. Each individual person's needs are different. And for me, what I'm doing right now may be different from what I'm going to do in the future, or maybe different from what I'm going to need in the future. And that's okay. Things ebb and flow, things change, and we're always in the process of growing. And I think for my household, you know, it's just become so natural where at first it was a lot of work. You know, it's, oh my gosh, it's this or it's that. And then I got to learn about this and I got to learn about that. But it's kind of grown organically, and you kind of cut the cord with the idea of having to know all of the things and having to do all of the things and having to have this perfect holistic lifestyle, because that's not attainable. But finding a routine that works for us has just given us so much ease, and it's just become second nature. Like, my kids know when they wake up every morning, they get their Ningxia Red, they get their Mighty Vites and their Mighty Zymes, and it's just, they just know this, which is amazing because mommy doesn't have to do everything. And so, yeah, it's definitely allowed us to have such a more, I don't know, ease to the way that we do things.
Absolutely. And I wanted to talk about something that is kind of a theme I've seen in your social media presence and your blog and our conversation. You know, we have all these tools now. We have these tools from Young Living, and you have this knowledge and this like eagerness to learn more about your body and the environment and the products and things that you let into your home. But I'm sure, you know, you're a mom. I'm sure just like anybody else, as we're growing, we realize that we're always going to have struggles, and it's always going to be hard in different ways, and maybe some things will ease up and other problems will enter into our lives. How do you find that daily light in the kind of the darkness that seeps in?
Well, we live in a society where we're constantly trying to prep. We're constantly trying to have everything perfect and have everything equally balanced, and that's just not realistic. I think a lot of it boils down to trusting the process. Again, I say trust a lot because there's so much value in that. There's so much ease in just understanding that you are exactly where you are. You're exactly where you need to be. And although that might not be a sufficient answer for some people, they may want more. That's okay. It's okay to want more. It's okay to want to do better. But take a breath, you know, like calm down. We're always in such a rush. I don't think balance is something that we can attain. Some people listening to this podcast may be like, oh, well, I don't believe that. It's something that we're constantly working on. You know, we're working to keep up. We're working to have this total balance. But I've come to realize that balance is not tangible. It's not something that we can hold. It's something that we're always going to have to work for. So it's never going to be a perfected thing. And I think once we realize that, once we can see that, it makes things so much more gentle that, you know, there's always going to be something out of whack. Like right now, I'm in a season where I'm very busy with my Young Living business, and I'm thankful for it. But there's times where it does get overwhelming, and there's times where I'm like, I need to pay attention to my husband, or I need to pay attention to my kids more. And then you start to have that guilt. And instead of sitting there feeling bad for myself or trying to find perfection, I have to take a step back and I have to, you know, be proud of myself for where I'm at, honor where I'm at, and just be mindful and see how I can do things just a little bit differently to fill that cup back up. Because as a mom, as an entrepreneur, as a wife, and let me just tell you, that doesn't mean that you can't have best of both worlds. for me, when I'm feeling overwhelmed, I have to realize myself as this vessel. And if I can't pour into myself, I can't give to other people. So if my cup is constantly tipped over, pouring into everyone else, and then we have this cloud over us trying to pour into us, our cup is tipped. It's not going to fill back up. But if we can stand tall and feel good about the things that we're doing and feel confident in who we are and feel confident in the message that we have, and know that we can choose balance. We can choose where we want to place this balance. We can choose where we want to pour our cups into. But if we just stand tall in that and we allow ourselves to receive and we allow ourselves to listen, then we can pour into other people. So I think balance is something that shifts. It depends on where you're at, but it's definitely not something that you're gonna ever perfect. And I've learned that.
Mm-hmm. Are there any specific practices or behaviors that you've found helpful in tipping that cup the other way?
So asking for help, which is not something that I typically have ever had to do in my life. I was always the mom that did it all. I was always the wife that had the house cleaned and, you know, took care of everything. But I've had to ask for help because there's only so much that I can give. And I think giving myself grace, because again, there's that mom guilt. There's a lot of guilt with, you know, not giving my kids a bath and asking my husband to do it. I feel bad. My husband owns his own company and he works all day long. And to have to ask him for help is like an ego thing for me. Like, I want to be able to do all of the things, but that's just the thing. We can't. So some things that I make sure that I do is I have a cutoff time. And sometimes that cutoff time isn't honored. And I get that. I'm working very hard and I will never, ever tell you guys that I have it all figured out, because I certainly don't. But setting the intentions to have boundaries in your business is going to set you up for success. I wake up in the morning, I get up early so I can check my messages, so I can, you know, do all of those things and I'm not, you know, having to do 10 million things at once while I'm driving, which is very frowned upon. And then, you know, making sure that I do set time out for my children, like when they come home, no phones, sit down, hang out, talk about the day, and then do our homework. I've gotten very good at multitasking things, but that can be overwhelming. So definitely having boundaries, and my boundaries may look different from someone else's, but I make sure that I get up early to do those things. And then when the kids are down, I do a little bit more work. And sometimes it's okay to just sit down and do nothing, because we need that. We need that recharge. So if there's a show that you like maybe once a week that you can sit down and watch, I definitely recommend doing it and getting that escape, because it's so necessary to be able to recharge and do those things. But I think if you can find boundaries within your business, whatever that may look for you, I think that is going to keep you going, keep you motivated, and allow you to be grateful for the opportunity, because I think that's what it boils down to, is constantly holding on to the gratitude.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think for myself, figuring out that my boundaries look different than someone else's has been kind of a monumental discovery. It feels like pretty straightforward once you realize it, but realizing that I can say no to things, I can let things into my life that I need, and that I can just sit and do nothing is pretty important. And I think we're all trying to learn that all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. We have these, you know, how do I call it? These leaders, or we have these motivational speakers that will tell you, always say yes, say yes, say yes, say yes. But how is that? I think we have to look at it like that. Like, how is this serving me? Am I exhausting myself? Am I spreading myself thin? It's okay to say no. In fact, you give the power back to yourself by saying no, and boundaries are not limiting. And I think that's the perception that we have, especially as business people, or whether you're doing this for a job. Like, when we have boundaries, they don't limit you. They give you power, they give you options, and they give you an opportunity for you to manage your time. And I love that you said that finding boundaries was monumental for you, because it was game changing for me. I thought if I had boundaries, if I told someone no, people were going to be mad at me. They were going to judge me. They were going to talk bad about me. And as an entrepreneur, you don't want that. You don't, word of mouth is everything. So I was constantly saying yes. But what I wasn't recognizing was the energy that was going behind the yes. It was more of like a, yeah, I guess, sure. You know, that obligatory yes, which never feels good. That energy that we hold after that, it's like the buyer's remorse. You go out and you impulsively buy. Well, if you're impulsively saying yes, it's not going to serve you. And you can't grow when you're not, you know, serving yourself. And you can't serve others if you're not serving yourself. So it's okay to say no.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I really do love that image that you gave of, you know, tipping the cup over and making sure that you have enough for yourself. I think that's a pretty great image. And I'm probably going to incorporate that a little bit more into my life and trying to tip the cup the other way.
Just make sure it's a really pretty cup with like some bedazzling on it, and then you'll be fine.
Oh, absolutely. Just a full-on goblet, maybe. I know this question is hard, but I love asking it to our Young Living members. What are some of your favorite products or the products that you use daily, the ones that you can't really live without?
Well, how much time do we have? My daily regimen, I love to post every now and then on my stories, my daily regimen, which may seem like a lot for some people, especially if they're just starting out. But like I said, it's really not. It becomes like second nature. I could do this stuff in my sleep. For me personally, because I have dealt with needing emotional support and just feeling good about myself, my favorite to apply topically to me is Ylang Ylang. I cannot live without Ylang Ylang every day over my heart, joy on my wrist, stress away behind my ears because hashtag three kids, my Ningxia Red every single morning. And really, honestly, because I'm an OCD clean freak, I used to clean with all of the stuff from the store. Like you see it on the shelves, I had it. And Thieves Cleaner, man, that stuff has been game changing for me. And I have no shame in telling you that I force my kids to clean because Thieves Cleaner is that awesome. So those are just a few things. But I mean, I could go on and on with that.
And I'm sure, you know, bringing in your kids and having them clean with the products is also like a really great kind of family time, probably.
Yeah, it's nice. It's not so nice when the little one steals my cleaner and starts to spray it like a water gun at her brother. But I mean, if it keeps her quiet, I'm all for it. I've got a central reward. So just go ahead, girl. I'll get one for free with my points.
So tell me, you've been giving so much great advice and just a lot of, I think, golden nuggets for our audience to think about. I was listening to your podcast and you have this really great episode about the things no one tells you as a new mom. And a lot of our members are mothers. What are those things that you would want to tell other mothers in Young Living? And I think there's just such a sense of community among mothers and Young Living and that sort of thing.
Outside of amazing products and a better lifestyle and an opportunity, as far as the business goes, that Young Living brought to me was something that I had been searching for such a long time, and that was community. You know, being a stay-at-home mom, you're subject to watching Mickey Mouse Clubhouse all day and Teletubbies, and that gets monotonous and it's lonely. And I think that's the one thing that I didn't realize as being a mom was that I was going to be so lonely with someone constantly attached to me. And that's the one thing that I'm just so grateful for with Young Living. You know, we create our own community and then we meet other communities. And it has been such a warm, embracing community. So I urge all of the listeners out there, whether they are doing the business or they are just lovers of the product, to embrace your community, get involved with your Young Living family because they genuinely love you. They are there to help you, to support you. We recently had one of our members in our team, her house burnt down last week. She lost everything. And the team that we've built, the family that we've built, reached out to her. We've been able to donate clothes and money, and we had girls working on talking to news stations and Red Cross, and Young Living was so gracious to send her a care kit. So this is more than just oils. It is a family. And if you ever have the chance to ever go to convention, I highly recommend it because you will see it firsthand. And you see that with you saw that with Gary, and you see that with Mary and her kids, and you see that with the corporate staff, how everyone is just so close. And yeah, it's such a massive company, but we are all connected by this one thing, you know, and it is the message, and it is the oils. But I think for me as a new mom, the loneliness was the hardest thing. When I had my first, I was the only one out of any of my friends that, or even my family members. I mean, my sister just had her first baby and I'm on my, have three. So I'm like, come on, girl, let's get with it. But I was the first one to have kids. So I had to kind of learn all of these things on my own. We plan our whole lives, you know, to have kids. And if that's the choice that you choose, some people choose not to, and that's totally fine. I get it. I get it now. But I think that, you know, we sit here and we conjure up these ideas of what we think motherhood's going to be like. Throw that all out the window. Like, it is amazing, but it has its bad moments too. And I don't think that a lot of people like to talk about that. So the loneliness, the sleepless nights, which we all assume are going to be hard, times that by 100. It's hard. And it's okay. It's okay to struggle. It's okay to just cry for no reason. So if you're a new mom out there and you're just getting into this journey, honor yourself, because it took me, gosh, years to find Young Living. So you're ahead of the game. But don't feel like you can't reach out, because there's a community here that is willing to embrace you.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been, so I work at the corporate building, and it's been really interesting to see how there is that community feel just in every part of Young Living. I think you've brought us to a really beautiful place to stop, but I just have one last question. In just a couple words, maybe a phrase, what does Young Living mean to you?
Oh my gosh, I might have to think about this one. Young Living means so much to me. Young Living means opportunity. It means a better way. To me, like I said, it's given me so much ease, and it's given me enlightenment. And I think that's the one thing that Young Living has done, is the enlightenment and the power to choose. And that's just the beauty of this. Like, no one's forced me to do this. No one's forced me, you know, to try new things or to try new products. I think having that ability to have the things at my disposal and pick and choose what I want has been such a blessing. And like I said, my life has just, it's changed. And I just feel so much better as a person, and I'm just so much more confident as a mom, knowing that I'm giving my family the best products and the best things to support them and what they need. So if I could sum Young Living up, it would be an opportunity. It would be, they've given me an opportunity to grow and to educate and to enlighten myself.
Thank you so much, Brooke, for sharing a little bit of that light with us today. It's been such a pleasure to talk with you, and I can see that you just have a lot to share with the community and with your family and with all of us, and it's been such a pleasure.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for this opportunity. Anytime I can talk to adults, it's a great thing. So I love it, and I thank you guys for listening to me go on and on.
You just heard my conversation with Brooke Craig, the Holistic Housewife. It was such a pleasure to talk about how balance isn't a one-time achievement, but something we always need to adjust and reorient ourselves toward. You can find Brooke online at holistichousewifeblog.com or on Facebook and Instagram by searching Brooke Craig, the Holistic Housewife. Thanks for tuning in for another episode of Drop of Inspiration. If you enjoyed our episode today, be sure to subscribe to Drop of Inspiration on your favorite podcasting platform. We'll see you next time.